Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. On the Minting of Money is a short but historically important economic treatise by Nicolaus Copernicus, written in the 1520s and aimed at the practical problems of currency reform in Royal Prussia and the Kingdom of Poland. Although Copernicus is best known for astronomy, this work shows his engagement with state policy, taxation, and the functioning of markets. The treatise examines why money loses value when rulers debase coinage, how mixed-quality currency distorts exchange, and why stable monetary standards are essential for order in trade and government. It is not a theoretical economics textbook in the modern sense, but policy argument grounded in the monetary crises of its time. Its lasting significance comes from the early formulation of the principle, later summarized as bad money drives out good, making the work a foundational text in the history of monetary thought and an unusual example of a scientific polymath addressing public finance directly. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Copernicus treats coinage as a matter of statecraft, not just commerce. The treatise is built on the idea that money is a public instrument whose quality affects the whole political order. Copernicus does not approach minting as a narrow technical issue for metalworkers or merchants. He treats it as a question of governance, because rulers determine the standard of coinage and therefore influence prices, trust, and the ability of the state to function. This is why the work was addressed to political authorities rather than to a specialist scholarly audience. The argument implies that monetary policy cannot be separated from administrative responsibility. If coinage is weakened, the effects spread beyond trade into taxation, military finance, and public confidence. In that sense, the treatise belongs to the broader tradition of civic advice literature, but it stands out because its recommendations are based on a clear diagnosis of how monetary quality shapes economic behavior. Copernicus presents sound money as a condition for orderly rule, not as a mere preference of merchants. Secondly, debasement is explained as a process that destroys trust and raises prices. A central concern of the treatise is currency debasement, meaning the reduction of the precious metal content or effective value of coins while keeping their face value unchanged. Copernicus argues that this practice does not create real wealth for the state, it only disguises weakness in public finance. Once people recognize that new coins are worse than older ones, they begin to treat money differently. Prices rise because the monetary unit has less purchasing power, and market participants adjust to the loss of value. The treatise is important because it links the physical quality of coinage to broader economic instability. Copernicus is not merely condemning fraud in the mint. He is showing that debasement changes incentives across the economy, leading to confusion between nominal value and real value. This line of reasoning anticipates later monetary theory by making money a measurable standard rather than a political convenience. The text therefore matters as an early analysis of inflation rooted in the behavior of coinage. Thirdly, the work anticipates the principle that bad money drives out good. One of the treatise's most famous contributions is the observation now associated with the Copernicus-Gresham law. The principle is that when inferior coins circulate alongside better ones at the same legal value, people naturally spend the worse currency and keep the better currency for themselves. Copernicus presents this as a practical outcome of mixed coinage, not as a moral lesson. The mechanism is straightforward if two types of money are treated as equal by law, but not by users. The higher quality one becomes the preferred store of value, while the lower quality one dominates everyday circulation. This insight is significant because it explains how monetary systems can fail even without total collapse. The problem is not only that bad money exists, but that official policy allows it to compete unfairly with good money. The treatise thus helps establish a behavioral understanding of money, showing that people respond rationally to differences in quality and reliability. That makes the work unusually modern in its economic intuition. Fourthly, monetary reform is presented as a technical solution to a political problem. Copernicus does not stop at diagnosis. He also argues for reform, especially the creation of a more disciplined and unified coinage system. His recommendations reflect concern with mint standards, the control of coin supply, and the removal of damaged or inferior currency from circulation. The purpose is to restore credibility to money so that exchange can proceed without constant suspicion about value. This practical orientation is one reason the treatise remains historically useful. It shows that monetary stability depends not only on abstract principle, but on institutional design. A government that mints carelessly undermines its own policy goals, while a government that enforces uniform standards can reduce disorder in markets. Copernicus therefore treats reform as preventive statecraft. His goal is not to maximize the state's short-term gain from minting, but to preserve long-term economic reliability. This makes the text an early example of thinking about the trade-off between fiscal convenience and monetary integrity, a theme that remains relevant in discussions of inflation and currency management. Lastly, the treatise matters because it links astronomy-era authority to economic reasoning. The book is especially notable because it comes from a figure whose reputation rests on astronomy, yet it demonstrates serious economic reasoning grounded in public administration. Copernicus was not writing as a professional economist in the modern discipline, but as a learned administrator observing concrete monetary problems in his region. That gives the text a distinctive place in intellectual history. It shows how Renaissance scholarship often crossed boundaries between science, law, medicine, and policy. The treatise also helps explain why Copernicus is remembered not only as a cosmologist, but as a practical thinker concerned with institutional stability. Its importance is partly historical and partly methodological. It reveals how careful observation of real-world incentives can produce durable economic insight even before formal economic theory existed. Readers interested in the history of money, the origins of inflation theory, or the roots of monetary policy will find it especially valuable. Compared with modern books on economics, it is brief and context-specific, but that concentration is exactly what makes it distinctive. In conclusion, On the Minting of Money is best suited for readers interested in the history of economic thought, monetary reform, and the practical origins of ideas about inflation and currency quality. It will also appeal to students of Nicolaus Copernicus who want to see the thinker beyond astronomy, as well as readers studying how early modern governments handled fiscal instability. The main value of the book is that it explains a major monetary principle through a concrete policy problem rather than through abstract theory. That makes it intellectually rewarding even today, because it shows how durable economic insights can emerge from immediate political needs. Compared with later books on money, it is much shorter and more situational, but that is part of its strength. The argument is direct, historically grounded, and foundational. What distinguishes it from similar works in the genre is that it combines administrative realism with a remarkably clear understanding of how bad currency displaces good currency. For readers seeking the roots of monetary policy rather than a modern textbook, it offers a rare and influential perspective. If you would like to support Nicolaus Copernicus, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.